We're up to Professor K. Hayutzarea l'reishu yivea shonu ki adinoi hui gar roi b'sha'ea v'lelea holchu shivi yifnei tzar. So is the nature of the pasuk that it's telling me that Iver Sholu is itself a dinner of Korban, that it should be shy of such a thing, that Iver should be Sholu? Because the very fact that I see Shalva and those who are stand against Tzion is itself a pagan. Forget about their relationship to Yerushalayim per se. That's him, that there should be such a thing as Shalva or Rishayim is problematic. Is that what it's saying? Or is it specifically in the context? Is it specifically in the context of Sholu to be able to do what it is that they do? Because there's something that's horrible about the fact that Seinei Tzion should be in a matzav of Shalva Bechlal. That's certainly the way we feel. Is this what it is that he's commenting on? That itself is mamish part of Churban. That it's shayach for somebody to who is an oyev of Tzion to be b'shalva. That's a direct result of ki adinoi hego aroiv b'shaya. This is part of what the hego itself is of b'shaya.
Be a rosh,
be a son. What? We had a conversation
with
Nicholas,
with Bill Owen, and with
Tom Owen. I don't know which conversation you mean.
Insulting words.
Yeah, like I'm saying what I'm not familiar with this word.
What the Rosh Hashanah says is, you want to be great. Right.
No, but that doesn't bother me. A Yisrael Aresh could mean in terms of her also. But the Etzem Sholu doesn't seem to be Negea me. A Yisrael Aresh, yes, that bothers me because that means that I am personally affected by it. But it seems to be adding with the Oyver Sholu. That's what I was asking. Was a Dafkai Vash Sholu within the context of being a Rosh. It's Mashma, it's a new idea.
Instead of the Rosh, yeah. But you think it's not authentic, the fact that they're in the state of Shalva itself?
Yeah. It's something that's very, very choshev to be makir. In other words, there's a certain tsar that you have. The Dovid HaMelech points out in Tehillim.
There's no meaning, there's no relationship to what it is.
You have these Rishayim that began on this Rosh Hashanah. To the extent that it's Dovid HaMelech Tainus, it's a Kimat, it makes a person be a Kaifa. He has to be Eimed on it, so he says, and then I made a Kal B'chaymer, that if this is Eimed, it's Eimed Kal. So those are it's Eimed Kal, it's Kal, it's Kal, not Mamish like that Gemara. But it means that when a person sees the chashivas of other umlais, like the story with Rav Kook about the Alps, when you see things that seem to be more expressive of Gedula and the Eilam than Eretz Yisrael itself, it's a tremendous tzar.
They were originally empty, but they got together with the fire. There was a way to have a team together in the shalva, that they're all focused against. And he goes, well, he's sitting, I'm not following the process, but the process of a few words, still that the risk of death. And they did this, they did this, this is terrible, they did this.
Why else, where does it say they did anything?
So that was very shallow, because Shem understands.
That's it.
Huh?
That's it. I don't know what you're saying. Oh, you're talking about the pasuk. I thought you were talking about the parrot. I don't see it anywhere else. I don't see anywhere else where it says anything about her pshayim.
No.
That's what you said. You said that if we did this and they got this and this. Then it's the only place that says that we did anything. Please be more specific. I can't follow. So, give me a specific indication that I can relate to what you're saying. I don't see the inyan. I mean, the theme here seems to be a concept of having a mokum menucha, which is lemaisa. That's what Eretz Yisrael is called. So that if the type of yeshiva is badad, I mean, that's what it says later on over here, ein la menachem mikol oyaveh. That concept of menachem relates in the next passage to lo matzah manoach. Even though one is an aspect of nechama, one is an aspect of menucha, clearly they're interrelated, right? The oyaveh shalu is the contrast to that. The oyaveh shalu is that whatever menucha and shalva there is not hers, but belongs to her oyvim. So this whole first part, up to the next pasuk, up to pasuk vav, seems to be talking about your place in the world. The place that is choshev, the place that's secure, the place that you can rely on, is the ir habati am. Is the rabati baguyim geopolitically. And all the ones that related to that, Lechaira, in other words, the Oyhavim, the Re'im, the fact that they can become Oyvim itself, it undermines, we're talking about the illusion and the aspect of being disillusioned, it undermines the way in which you viewed Tzion as being something that was a Mokum Menucha. I think we were timing yesterday or last week, that the union of Menucha, yesterday, I've been about here. That the union of Menucha and Nachala, let me just close the door. That the union of Menucha and Nachala itself, as a definition of what it means to have a Yerusha Shleim of Eretz Yisrael, has to be something that's innate in what Eretz Yisrael is. It's not something that has to do with you, but you will have this. You will be in a matzav of Menucha if we darshan. The mamar is darshan the words. To be a reference to Shiloh, to Yerushalayim, and that the final nature of Geula is defined in these terms. So then there's an aspect of Menucha that relates to the Etzem Metzias of Eretz Yisrael. And what the first thing that the Navi does over here is talk about the undermining of that nature of Menucha. That whatever Menucha that you thought that you had was illusory. Because here you thought Rabbati Baguim was machayev people to recognize the Metzias of what it is. Not that they should be at the moment that they're able to get out from underneath, if now they turn their back, they're bogdim, they're bogduba, they become oyvim, whereas before they were oyavim. That's all part of the the idea, in other words, the menucha consisted to me of various things, which I said right up front. It consisted of the vast population, the way that people would come to visit, the geopolitical situation. All that's expressed right outside. I don't know. I find that a loose. To me, it isn't helpful. Maybe
so
it's helpful. Like what? I don't understand what that
is.
Yes, it says Rabati. Rabati, but we understand what is imaginary. The Medrash says that, but there was no other Medina Chashuva that's not Medina Shavan in this Binyan. Until Yerushalayim Bechor Banah, you couldn't even find something. And it was Bechor Banah, obviously, meaning, you know, from the time that the Merkabah was seen coming Minat Tzafon, that it went to make the Nebuchadnezzar into another Kashuv. But until that time, it wasn't even a sense of Chashivas. Other things were viewed as, you know, they're silly. I mean, it could be empire, it could be Memshala, but there's no content. There's no sense of content. Tell me what the Medrash says. But in any event, certainly which is meant to be taken seriously, if Menucha is Yerushalayim, or Shiva, depending on the Man Yomar, then that's a real aspect of Menucha. Okay, so now that means that in order to establish that our vision of what Menucha is a lie, so the Navi here talks about the way that Tisha B'Av undermines the assumptions of Menucha. It is not a Menucha to be in a state of constant dynamic balance with the umais that are around you, trying to keep them under control. And you'll notice, by the way, that David HaMelech, when he wants to get to a darga, Vayad Noach, right? So you can build a Beis HaMikdash. So the Niach Hashem, is a Gedaros, to be in a matzav of simple Menucha. He doesn't control the Goyim, he destroys them. That's the whole mitzvah with Moab and the way that he runs his tractors over their backs. In other words, he puts them in a marker in which they don't dare raise their head. That's the situation that we want. And having created it, and by the way, after the Six-Day War, that's exactly the way things was. An Arab didn't raise his head. You didn't need to keep anybody in place. That's the problem. The moment you need to keep them in place, then it absorbs all your energies to keep them in place. That's not called the Malkum and Nuh. The moment they think that they can raise a word against you, you're finished. That it's so obvious, such a thing. And it's been all over the world that's an obvious psychology. That's what happened to South Africa. The minute they gave any voice at all to the blacks, that's what happened in the United States. The moment you give any voice, now, well, yeah, there's certain things you have a right to time. So then you time everything. There's no end to your timings. Once you give them a place, so then their place is equal to yours. It was so obvious that without completely crushing any aspect of whether it's right or wrong, doesn't mean you think it was pleasant for David to run tractors over Moab. It's nothing to do with right or wrong. This is Israel. This is what Israel needs to be, and this is the only way in which you can achieve it. And the wars that you have in the Chumash of wiping out men, women, and children, we call it Kol Ish Yodad Zahar, all of a sudden now that's our problem. Or we don't like sex. What's exactly the issue? Anyone that has an identity, Islam. We do not allow identities other than the Israel identity. If you can become Batotas, completely fine. You can't become Batotas, we don't allow you to live. Either you're Geri Teisha or you're Avadim. But you certainly don't have an alternative culture. There's no alternative culture. There's no alternative beliefs. There's no nothing. There's Yisrael uber alles. That's it. That's what the Nazis knew. That it was either Yisrael uber alles or it's Germany. In the end, that's the vision of Amalek. They know that the end result is you can't have just this bourgeois dilettantism all over the world in which everybody is fine and everything is good. It doesn't end up that way. So this is part of the issues. You thought that you had a matzah of Rabat Yam, in which you were Malkum and Menucha, and that people had accepted you, and that it wasn't a balance. Turns out it was a fake. The whole thing was a balance. The moment that you're not there, the moment that you can't control them, who do you think they go to? They become your enemies. They're not supporters.
all the people that were sending you gifts and were writing poetry about how marvelous you are. What did it take to turn the Europeans into anti-Semites after being, for 30 years put in their place? So it's nothing, you know. If it isn't real, then it isn't real. And the point of Tishabov is to show that it's not real. Because the manuch of an achel is not achieved through a constant situation of a milchama against alternative values that need to be fought against. It's achieved only through a true giroi that's unarguable. And as long as people note that, it remains that. Same thing is happening now to America. It was a given that American values were values. And that if they fight, then they're fighting the just wars. In other words, the way Americans look at America. This was a given around nobody would. No European, no Frenchman, as much as he would want to have his little atomic force over. He's not going to come out and say that the Etzem vision of America is public. Once they start saying that, then the whole strip, and that's exactly what they are saying now, right? They're saying that all the people that previously supported them now are, for territory. They are Shalom. They're Bogduba. Go join the enemies. Why not? That's when an empire falls apart. When there's that vision that there's alternatives to empire, empires fall apart. And that's a tremendously dangerous thing. America never controlled the world by force of arms. It controlled the world by the Messias, the overwhelming Messias of its totality. And Lamaise provided peace for the world for half a century more. In losing that, you open up the door to chaos. Saying that idea is exactly the same as what the Navi is talking about over here. That wasn't Menucha. You thought it was Menucha. As long as your economy is good, it's fine. But the moment you don't have that chaos, you don't have anything. That's part of the breaking of illusions. So people are saying this Befeirish now to Americans. I'm not just saying it in America, I'm certainly saying it in Europe. They're analyzing the matzah, recognizing what the implications of such a matzah are. So that idea of vulnerability, it's not even a military vulnerability. It was the idea of Asar B'Teves, its vulnerability in terms of the military, is much, much later than noting your cultural vulnerability, which is a tremendous dharma, because I don't think that at the time that this was written, or even a few hundred years ago, that people were sensitive to moral vulnerability. And it's only with a tremendous perspective of history that you get to see the extent of which culture and civilization and its power is wrapped up in perception, and that such a strong part of that perception is precisely the question of moral vulnerability. In other words, hundreds of years later, when you talk about the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, you can go beyond the simple question of the political infighting or the issues of the strengthening the barbarians or whatever breakdowns there were that allowed ultimately for the sacking of Rome. And afterwards, you get to see the underlying social issues, and then beyond that, underlying moral issues have become now a dogma to decadence. What decadence does to a society. Essentially, what the Navi was trying to do, following Yirmiyahu all of his years, was trying to show that Lamaisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take decadence and turn it into destruction. But that decadence itself is its own destruction. It's not so bold at that time. I mean, now there is a sense of coming to understand that a society cannot support itself simply by fighting. And I think that Eifa includes some of these things, that the illusions that you had about what you really were is not what you really were, because if it was what you really were, then it wasn't going to be vulnerable in this fashion. People don't join up the other side just because you lose a battle. Because apparently there never was a real recognition of what you are. So here the Oiv of Shalom, which is Mamish beyond Menucha. Mamish Shalva, that's what it's bringing out. You don't have Menachem.
You're lo matzah manoach, even where you're being yoshev. You're mamish in a matzah of avelus, of marla. But the oivim are in a matzah of literal shalva. That's a tremendous, I think that itself, that they could be in a matzah of shalva, when you're in this matzah, is itself one of the most disturbing, even more disturbing than your own suffering, is the fact that those who are antithetical to everything you stand for are not suffering. It's interesting. I don't think that it's a cheap psychological thing. I think that it undermines your belief in the whole system. It touches on the basic Eicha questions. How can such a thing be? I mean, people are very disturbed by the breakdown in what they perceive a breakdown in justice. As a child, they'll say the pashas is good should suffer, but it's much more than that. How is it possible that here on the level even of the of geopolitics of the military, that such a thing is possible? And then again, a bad decision. You know, and as Daniel pointed out, these are very subtle issues. In the sense that it's surprising that we should expect that it should be otherwise. No, in fact, the Christians have this whole idea of the meek shall inherit the earth, so on. I mean, that's the pasuk on other Yerushalayim. They define the meek. Okay, so what do you expect? You know, meek of Yoshka Pepe come along and turn the world right, so to speak. And we absorb a lot of that. That those who are on a higher darga should somehow or other have less impact on the world. And should accept the fact that they're what it is that they are is not to be the leaders of the physical earth. You know, the Navi is mamash saying the opposite of that, no? That a Yisrael in its correct matzav in achieving menucha v'nachla in Eretz Yisrael is the opposite. It's the Rabbasiyam, it's the Sarasi Bandinais, it's that no nation would dare to say something against you, and so on and so forth.
That's not
the render
of the season.
Not the render of the season. No, something deeper.
We are Caesar.
Right.
Become the proper government,
become the
proper nation.
But proper in the sense of menucha, not just that you were able to keep it that way, but that you're shalev in it. You know, it talks about Eretz HaMa'arav B'Shalvata, Rashi says, Ad Hayam HaAchron, Ad Hayom HaAchron. A tremendous sense of complacency that's involved in Shalva, that there's no need to make adjustments, that everything will work itself out. It's an unbelievable kind of situation. I mean, you don't see it anywhere in the world except in America. You know, even in Europe, you don't have that. You have arrogance, and that's why you have the arrogance, because the Etzem, they're always fighting to assert, but especially the French. If somebody knows you don't have anything, then you have to be arrogant in order to live with the nothing that you have. And deep down, they know it. But you take a look at the pashtus of the assumptions in America. It's every portion. What do you mean? We have anything that we want. Everything is free. We can do anything that we want. It's an amazing. It's not only affluence though. It's the freedom. It's the liberty. It's the vastness. It's the way that everything is literally free. I mean, mamish. You know, they give away everything. No, you don't need money. It's free. It's mamish free. What do you want to live in America? I mean, unless you're stuck to being, in Lakewood or something like that. I'm saying, if you're a Jew, nothing's ever free. But if you're an American, it's free to live in America. You know, the software's free, the rebates are free, the land costs $2 an acre. I mean, it's free. It's not much free. Obviously, if you want to live on Madison Avenue or, on, what do they call the Main Street in Lakewood over there, Clinton Avenue, whatever. I said that there is definitely a sense of unbelievable shout. Why? Because I don't even consider the fact that there's anything that I have to fight. It's never precious. You know, never the rest of the world, they don't have it, and we have it. So the Shilas is that part, is that meant to be part of the Menucha v'Nachla element, as the Rambam talks about in terms of the vision of Yisrael Mashiach. He talks about Hilchos Tshuva. Hilchos Tshuva, I said a little Rambam to your left, it's right in front of me. So what, you know, what is the interrelationship? Because if I can't ask Eicha on it, if it isn't taken for granted that there should be a relationship, I can't talk about Eicha, right? What do you mean Eicha? I mean, it was a violation of the standard anyway. Why would you expect that a nation that is dogul in Inyone HaRuach should necessarily be Rabati Am or should be Sarati Bamidinam? I'm a rabbi. The world is made out of a bunch of idiots. So the more you achieve, the less they're machshavas. And we know that that's not true. That's the way the Torah ultimately measures the success of Israel is the way that the Goyim look at Israel as being a very unique nation. At what?
Israelis.
Yeah, sort of. So mipnei zeni tavu ko Yisrael leviyim chachamim lemot haMashiach kidei sheyanuchu mimalchuyot sheinan menichot lahem la'asok b'Torah u'mitzvot kehogen v'yimtzu lahem margoa v'yirbu b'chokhma v'fi she'otam b'otam hayamim tarbeh ha'de'a v'chokhma v'emet. And so mipnei sheoto melech sheyamod mizera David ba'al chokhma yaseh mishmom, etc., etc. V'yavo kol hagoyim l'shomo shema v'yibah chris hayamim. And So what's even the big deal? We have the whole Mice with Chizkiyo that they didn't think he was royal in office because he wasn't so didn't act so imperial. And all the people that were against him because he didn't eat enough, so to speak. And obviously it doesn't mean he didn't eat enough. The things that were important to the rest of the world were not important to him. So why should it be that way? Not being able to what? Whatever.
That's not the Jewish thing.
This was based on. That's what I'm asking. So then, what are we talking about here? If that's correct, why are we making assumptions that it should be otherwise?
Why does
I'm not saying something, I'm not going to sit here and argue about something that is childishly simple. I'm saying the Navi is bringing out elements that we would not necessarily connect in our mind with the necessary result of Yisrael being what they're supposed to be, that they have to be a Hirabati Am, and that they have to be a Rabati Bagulim, and that they have to be Sarati Bamedinot. Why is that true? So you see that the aspects to talk about Manoach, Shalva, in terms of Eretz Yisrael, has to do with the Metzius of Eretz Yisrael. And that this is part of what it means to have a place in the world that is a Mokum of Menucha. So why would that be true? Where we said is of necessity part of what it is to be Yisrael. Certainly Chizkiyahu was not Shlomo. So those who were standing against Chizkiyahu were used to saying, so they're right. Those who wanted to have Dafka, you know, it depends which Nachala you want in the sense of Nachal. You know, you want the Mei HaShiloach and the Mayim HaShlevim, you know. Fine, so that's Malchus Beis David. But you know, I mean, I said that Shlomo wasn't all that, you know, Noach, was he? So therefore, I'm going to. So Pekah ben Remaliah is X, and Chizkiyahu is Y. I mean,
I mean, why is this a question of morality? If the Navi is taken for granted that this is part of what it means to, unless you're saying that he accepted the fact that we're not holding by that Dharga. And those who didn't accept that fact, Yoshio, so he refused to accept the fact. He believes that he's already made a tikkun and that there's nothing going on behind the scenes, and that, and therefore he has a right to go out and to attack Paro and Nechol. And what kind of chutzpah is this coming in Eretz Yisrael? So all of that was compromised. It was a recognition that a moral inferiority does not allow you to assert what Yisrael is supposed to be. But were you in a position of what it is you're meant to be, of course you had a right to do that. It's not that we were saying necessarily that it's supposed to be the way Chizkiyo is. The Inyan of being that, like the Me'a Shiloh, is to be responsive to the situation. It's not something in me that demands the importance and having my name up in life. But there is something in me that recognizes that there's an interrelationship between my geopolitical position and what it is that I am. That, yes, I'll settle for what I'm able to be. If I make a mistake, so then I get myself knocked off. In simple military terms. You had no right to fight this battle. Who do you think you are that you should be fighting this battle? I was fighting against him. So somehow or other, Echa is Tefes, the maximum for some reason. So for some reason, Echa is Tefes the maximum. Why should it be Tefes the maximum? In other words, if somebody would come today, Rachmana Litzlan, Yerushalayim would be destroyed today. So he wouldn't be late to, in his time, to the elements of Sarati Bamedinah, Ravati Bagoyim. You're telling me he wouldn't relate to Churban Yerushalayim as what it is? You're talking about, take Yerushalayim of 100 years ago. There's nothing here. 130 years ago. There's nothing here already. So 130 years ago, whatever was here, whatever small yishuv was here, the limud that was here, and so on and so forth, he wouldn't be shy of being misabel over the loss of that kind of Yerushalayim. He would. Absolutely would. You know, a little city like Tzfat at the time of the earthquake came in, and the destruction of a small city like that has to be Sarasi Bamedinot. People didn't relate to it, writing kinas and so on. The very fact that the Navi focuses on issues that seem to be the shleimus of Yerushalayim is, again, I don't even know whether historically this is true. In other words, do I necessarily have to say that the Rabbati Bagoyim means that at the time of the Churban it was Rabbati Bagoyim? No, as I'm saying, the way that we've understood it, that the nature using the word Yerushalayim here, the word Tzion, is not a reference to the Churban. Not a reference to Yerushalayim of a particular time, or Tzion of a particular time, so that what it is that we mourn is the Tzion and Yerushalayim of the Zman HaChurban. That's not the point. We mourn the idea of Tzion and Yerushalayim. The idea of Tzion and Yerushalayim in terms of its shleimus, and indeed if there were ever a few years like this in Jewish history, in which it is Rabba Sibagim, Sarah Sibamadim, and so on and so forth. That's the way we always see Yerushalayim. Someone who lives in Yerushalayim today, does he not believe that he's in the middle of the world? He looks at a New Yorker as being Nebuch. He lives somewhere in the periphery in the middle of nowhere, right? That's literally the way that, this is where it's happening. This is the maps that they saw, you know, with the Kobiapo, gigantic, and off to the very edge of the periphery, you know, New York, Los Angeles. These are all little tiny places, you know, that you barely remember exist. And that's the church, the merkaz of the Eilam. This is where a person feels the chalal about Jerusalem. Not because it's his place, but because it's a sense. And it's true. You could say Rabbati Bagoyim today also, if you judge by the number of headlines. That's all they talk about. It. Nothing else on their minds but Jerusalem. But obviously that's not sufficient for me to relate to it as Darkei Tzion Avelot, and so on and so forth. Of course. I think that's the ultimate sentiment, and that's our vision. So if people say today, if I read the Nachem in Shemoneh Esrei, it sounds a little ridiculous. I mean, there's nobody here, and it's all Karuv, and so on and so forth. It's not Nagea, it's not true, Adarabba. But in terms of this vision of a world that basically is under Yerushalayim, it's true. To whatever extent it isn't what I see it as being, so then for all intents and purposes, it's the same thing. You think that the time of Chizkiyo was seriously that he didn't eat enough dessert? That's what the Gemara said. Literally, you're a coat. That's considered to be a meal for a melech. That's the taina. The point is that the Gemara is making is that any taina that you're saying, that's the bottom line of what your taina is. In other words, what are you saying? That basically the budget for new road construction is only $30 billion a year instead of America's budget. You know how important that is? It's as important as my eating only a pound of vegetables a week. That's what it boils down to. You're going to measure the kingdom by the size of the belly. So, and it's fine. That's in real terms. This is what I'm shyest to. This is what I'm shyest to. But certainly the vision of what it is to be Melech Yisrael, and that ultimately if Chizkiyo is supposed to be Mashiach, he's supposed to be Mashiach the way the Rambam talks about. You know, the Lokim of Hamas Hashem, the Kibush of the Yumais around, and so on and so forth, that doesn't change. Even if we begin that process with the idea of the Oni Vareche of Al Kamor, which is mamish the idea of the Mea Shiluah, so I don't see myself as defined by these things in the least. They don't interest me. They're simply outgrowths of what it is to achieve what needs to be achieved. They're outgrowths, they're byproducts. I don't define my malchus by the size of my road building projects. But that's what it means when there's a malchus. The malchus perish lachos loydera. That relates directly to the malchus, but it certainly is not the definition of how we measure malchus. It's an expression of the success of malchus. So the fact that an oni can come, rokev al kamor and be Mashiach, is not a spiritas. In goyish terms, in Christian terms, it's a be'etzem. In other words, the kingdom on earth is a makom of the meek. That is the kingdom. It's the others who are concerned with the way it's expressed in Olam Hazeh terms. That's a fundamental pogrom in the whole Christian vision, right? It talks about the breakdown between guf and nefesh. So we expect that an Adam Kadosh should have no shackles to the world. By us, it's the exact opposite. We expect that an ear that is kadosh, so the Adarab, it should be more broken down. It should be. So that's what Ramban says. In terms of Churban, Kegedel HaKedusha, that's the Gedel HaKurban on his visit here. That it's mamish, it's proportionate. That means that's the way it's supposed to be. That's a reflection itself of Churban. That inversion of reality is a reflection of Churban. So the Mela, wherever I see that inversion, it eats at me, no? Doesn't it? It doesn't eat at you to go down to the Kotel. The madness of people running around and dancing at the Kotel doesn't eat it, doesn't drive you, mom, you're totally crazy. Anytime the sense of the non-awareness of what it's supposed to be, somebody comes to the Kotel Maharavi, a broken down retaining wall in which behind is this filthy piece of garbage, and they're dancing around like, oh, we finally have returned to Yerushalayim, and it's such nauseating.
Well, compared to what?
And that's what I'm saying, that's the point that Navi is making. It's not the issue is in comparison. The issue is to maintain a vision of what Yerushalayim is. What it is Yerushalayim of Menucha, of Anachal, of the Beit HaMikdash, Banoi, and so on and so on. That's what it is. To whatever extent there's a violation of that, even in the sense of the contrast that Oyveh HaShalom in comparison to you, that's supposed to eat you up. That's part of the Eicha. It's profoundly disturbing. You go traveling, you know, in the USA, everybody thinks that the world has already achieved you by some Mashiach. Total and absolute. That's profoundly disturbing. What's the matter with you? Yeah, that sense of carefreeness is just, it's horrific. How is it shy that we should be fighting for each breath And nothingness should be Zayecha in the era. That's all he's been saying, but that's what he seems to be saying. We're not interested in the particular moment of Churban. To say that Yerushalayim at the moment of Churban was necessarily Rabbasi Am, or that even a few days before it was necessarily Rabbasi Am, or a few years before it was necessarily Rabbasi Am, in the extent that we're talking about this as what Rabbasi Am in what sense? What does Rabbasi Am mean? What, it had 200,000 people? What's Rabbasi Am? You're going to compare it to Manhattan? In what sense is Rabbasi Am? You're going to compare it to Rome? What are you comparing it to? What does Rabbasi Am mean? What is Rabbasi Badmedina? I'm saying, so you're talking about over here and a vision which is a something that may never have been achieved yet. And nonetheless, we're asking how is a chaya such a thing. So to whatever extent it had implications in the world, they were fake. What it is that you had of this Metzias to be Yerushalayim was all fake. There are no real Ayavim. There are no real Reim. It was all a lie, a big lie. So if that's the case, then it fits into the overall theme that we've identified in Eicha of the Chlam. So the overall theme is the recognition of elements that are illusory, that are connected to your vision of what should be. Your belief that they have been achieved is where the illusion is. This is a very important nekuda. Remember, we said that the basic paradox of viewing the human condition as something that is meant to be shalom, to the extent that I have any reason to mourn over chisaron in that condition, right? I mourn over a condition because I think that it's supposed to be more than what I see it as. So the Gemara says, "Tachlis Yisurin," you stick your hand into your pocket and to bring out the wrong coin. That's Tachlis Yisurin. It's a Shabbat Star, to order a suit and to have it the wrong size. These things happen. I mean, it happens all the time in this country. When you're in China, what you actually expect to get your laundry back unshrunken from the laundry. I understand. You call that Tachlis Yisurin. If you were stupid enough to give it into the dry cleaners, you know that when it comes back, it's going to be shrunken. So what's the Tachlis Yisurin element? So clearly, we're talking about the Darga of a Ben Adam, who expects that the need of the Ben Adam ought to be, and is truly troubled by the fact, that a Ben Adam should have to worry about where to get a dime instead of a nickel to use in a telephone. And there are elements in us, for Haraya, we are angry at that kind of thing, upset about that kind of thing, we feel overwhelmed by that kind of thing. We feel disgusted with the human condition, the fact that we have to sit there cleaning up our homes or balancing our checkbooks or whatever it is. It's disgusting. This is the thing that a human being is supposed to be doing. And it's rubbish the way the Ramchal, but this is all Avedet HaNochash. It's all Avedet HaNochash. This is not meant for humans. This is meant for Nechashim. You want what? An intelligent species that has a brain, but that has nothing else, and that does what it's told to do. These are for computers, they're not for people. Robots should be handling this work. Why am I bothering, wasting my time? That's an assumption. A man gets tied down to the ground, gives the world its saddest sound, right? Isn't that the point? You see a Russian doctor working in a gas station. He can't get a job, so I see this all the time. Doesn't give the world its saddest sound. You see anybody working in a gas station gives the world a sound. Why should an Adam? I understand, you're telling me you can't make a machine that I should pull up and get filled up. I mean, a human being, it's an incredible tragedy. A human being should be spending his life turning a knob and putting in gasoline. It's simply such a mind boggling.
But when you have to pump it yourself, that's the most.
And it's interesting that the Gemara is aiming on this. And the Gemara talks about, you know, what you're saying. The Gemara talks about the Chosek Kol. That's what the Chosek Kol means, not having a shamash. And that's what you should feel, the Chosek Kol. I mean, I have to put on my own clothes in the morning? I have to look through a closet to determine what I'm supposed to wear. It's not laid out for me. I don't hold out my hand and somebody puts on them. It's disgusting. It's mommish disgusting. What? It's not a joke. This is real. And to the extent that a person feels it continually and is bothered with it continually, he's made more and more on the level of accept. It's the truth.
And
then, suppose you can. You're talking about the nature of Klal Yisrael. Is supposed to be bothered by things that the Ummah should all be working to supply for us? But we have to worry about them making our water dirty instead of having them dragging our water to be shayav they mine? Why aren't they making pipelines from Turkey to bring us water and paying us to take their water? I mean, that's the way that a person should feel as a Ben Yisrael. Who ever heard of such a thing? And these are real feelings, because to the extent that they're real, and that's the element of Eichas. I'm saying now that I'm saying now a slightly different nekuda that I think is very important, which is, before we start to talk about illusions, expectations, here I'm saying no, the etzem assumptions are correct assumptions. But part of the paradox was that Mamonish, either your assumptions are right, in which case there can't be any solutions in the Avelis, or be'etzem the illusions that you're being disillusioned from cause you to redefine your expectations, which were your initial assumptions, correct? That was the paradox. Okay, so the way out of it was essentially to recognize that the human being's achievement is the whole point. It's that's the story. That's where the only story is. That's where the achievement is. And so Mamela, the Eicha is only answered by yourself. Simply that the Ayeka is only answered by yourself. There's no external answer. But it's not that it's a rhetorical question without an answer. The answer is good for your response. I'm saying there's a more subtle Nikudah here. Because there's a difference between the assumptions that you make that don't have to be illusions, and the assumptions that you make as a result of your initial assumptions. In other words, let's say, you have groups of people that go around saying that they believe every word of the Torah, they believe every word of Chazal, and therefore what it is that they're doing, even though Lamaisa, you can't argue with the fact that certainly it doesn't seem to be a Chokhma Samuvina Samuvina Amin, what are you supposed to do? So you accept the matzah of which the Amim are not matzah you, and you're not Babashi Badim, so to speak. And you're doing as best as you can possibly do. The person has to be willing to be makabel the matzah as it is. But what we're doing is the best that we can do. So there's two levels to those assumptions. It's the underlying assumption of what is supposed to be. It's supposed to be that yes, every word of the Torah is MS, and every word that Chazal give us, and how to apply the Torah is MS, and so on. Emes in the sense of that that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to act, and so on. Fine. But the other part of the assumption, that the application of those assumptions is correct, is not true. That's what's happening over here. You're right in assuming that Yerushalayim and those who are timing against this Gio are correct in assuming that a Malchus has to be something more than Litra Yeret. Absolutely. That's all true. And that it should be a Rabbosi Bagoyim, and it should be a Sorosi Bamadina. And that's the vision, which is an absolutely correct vision. Now you're timing that we have achieved 50% of that vision. That's where you're mad. You've achieved minus 50% of the vision. You're going the wrong direction with the vision. You're destroying the vision. The fact that there were some artificial indications that this had something to do with the vision, to that extent, you're more in trouble, not less in trouble, because you didn't have that phony aspect, like the Mesilas Yesharim says. It's much more dangerous. The elements of Choshech that fool you into misidentifying something are much more dangerous than the elements of Choshech that allow you to recognize you don't know what you're looking at. Right? That's been shown, by the way, by actual experiments. In Mamish, very, very cute experiments in which they project an image out of focus on a screen. And you have a group of people that are supposed to identify what the image is. So a person who wrongly identifies the image, it's gauged by the extent of out of focus. You know, what the level of the lens is, what the level of the lens is supposed to be. People who identify early on incorrectly what the image is, takes them much longer to discover what it really is than people who kept saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. So now the nature of illusions is much more dangerous than the recognition that you don't know what's going on. You know, and that's certainly true here in the eighth element. The fact that somebody should have part of what they believe in as being true, and the application is being completely off because it doesn't recognize what really the connection is between what they're doing and what is meant to be, is extremely dangerous. It's very pernicious. It's very difficult to get around. And it makes tshuva almost impossible. Because what are you supposed to do tshuva on? I can only do tshuva on the fact that I'm not doing enough of the good that I'm doing. And that's exactly what most people do. It's not that I'm not doing anything wrong. Hell am I should be learning more. Or I should be more mafia. And that's the reaction. I haven't been mafia sufficiently, I should need a better action. And that's the vision of what it's possible to do now in order to achieve a mazat of maneuver. The dissonance between the reality of the vision and what it is that you're doing to achieve that vision is mamish the dissonance between a vision of Echa Yashra Badar, a Yir Abbasiyam, and the Rabbasiyam in people's minds when they hear this. It would be like today, somebody would talk about society, modern Israeli society, in this fashion. So what would be the words Rabbasi Bagoyim or Rabbasi Am mean? It would be translated in crazy ways. It would be translated in the matzah in which how many African countries are so excited by the fact that we offer them help with agricultural experts. So we're Rabbasi Am. I mean, literally, this is the way people think. Because Nabok, okay, that's all we have, but there's aspects of it. I mean, we have a respected place between Yuma Zion, and we're the second largest venture capital country for research and development and high tech, and so on and so forth. So we're Mami Grabosi, yeah, this is the way we think. So we could hear being Miss Abel and the Churban of Eretz Yisrael today with G. The second largest high tech country in the world should end up being the 300th. That's terrible. We understand that that's a joke. I'm saying so too on whatever level. I mean, talk is a joke. It's not a joke to many people. It would be very serious. That's our achievement. They literally, I'm not exaggerating, they literally and truly believe that this is the measurement of the achievement of Am Yisrael after 2,000 years of Golus, is that we have so much high tech science.
Talking about the Israeli brain power.
Yeah, I'm saying such a thing is simply not to be believed. So what it means is I have a vision of a Menucha Venachala, but I so warped in what it means in terms of its application and so on that I can't get beyond it. Okay, so that's a very obvious warpage. But this warpage wasn't so obvious to them. Because it was, after all, an application of the Beis Hamikdash, of a Malchus. It had much more of the trappings of reality. You find exactly the same thing today, in which, if somebody comes to you, and he's wearing a big kapata and a big black hat, and he has the whole look of somebody who lived 200 years ago. He speaks the same way, and he has the same values. You're convinced this is the year of Abbasiyam. I mean, it's the same Beis Hamikdash, isn't it? This is the Beis Hamikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built. I told one of his 400 years later. This is Shlomo's bias. This is the bias that I read about in Malachit. So you're telling me, what, so we have a few Chesreiners, and Sanglans, and Yubi, and Tadegras, people are not, I mean, there's a little bit more Ritzicha than there used to be, and so I okay, I understand it's a problem. We need to do tshuva on Ritzicha. And we should have, in fact, drivers there training so people kill each other less, and so on and so forth. But, I mean, it's not a fundamental change from the bias of Shlomo. It looks the same, has the same korbanos, they say the same prayers. If anything, we have more korbanos than they had in Shlomo's days. And basically everything is wonderful. I said we have problems that we need to address, but it's exactly the situation today, no? We have more yeshivas than we ever had. We're learning the same Torah that they learned mamish in the Warsaw Ghetto. But I mean, look how many more people are. So we have a little bit more issues, maybe people speak. No, I've seen articles that say we've been able to be misgabber completely on Lashon Hara. It's unbelievable. The Jewish Observer actually ran an article like that. Now, this is the first generation that mamish, for the first time, we were able to be misacting something that has never been the sukkah in which a door should be. Mamish, an article like this. What? The guy about the apostle, the didn't hear anything about the apostle, 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 the But you'll talk to someone and try to say something so they understand. What's changed? So even though everybody understands that something's wrong, but to turn around to say that what looks the same and smells the same and talks the same and feels the same and that creates the same general attitude, and it's the same. It's just that it has minor issues that are not, that need to be addressed. And that is so much more difficult than taking somebody from the street who never saw anything before, no idea what to expect, asking him to measure, so what do you hold as normal? I mean, he's not going to look at this and say this is normal. He's going to say this is mad. I don't want to be part of this. I don't have anything to do with this. That's the Yichok, what's going on in this phenomenon. So it's exactly the same thing. To whatever extent there is an actual consonance between the real life application of the vision of what a thing is and its ability to achieve that vision. So then, you're talking about something which isn't dissonant. But if there's no correlation between the two, you look back and you say, will we be able to achieve the Yirabasiyan in the actual sense, Matzah of the Nucha in the actual sense, if we vote Shas into office and they take care of the country? We put even Rav Shach in terms of in control of the country. Does anybody in his right mind believe for a half an instant that such a thing is even viable? Forget about the question that it should be Misak in something in the world. I mean, everybody understands that. But what, I mean, of course it isn't done. It isn't meant, and we don't mean that. We mean to be able to elect them to get additional money for yeshivas, and we don't, we understand that it doesn't mean that we have an alternative vision that we could actually run the country. And it takes a complete madman. I mean, there are those also. So just give us control of the country and you'll see we'll fix everything up and happen. And in a serious sense, we don't look around and view Jewish religious society as being capable of achieving a Yirabasiyan any more than we would look at the Taliban as being able to achieve a serious geopolitical solution to the world's needs. I'm not being cynical. I mean, this is serious. So what does that mean? It means that you have no right to subscribe to the values that the things are coming from. In terms of Tzion, Yerushalayim, that's the mocker of values, correct? The voracious Bishvil Yisrael Shemik voracious in terms of Kerech Maris of Higid Liyama, the fact of Eretz Yisrael being Nachlas Goyim, that's the Taklas of the world. If Lamaisa, that's not the source of your values, and you're not getting any closer to achieving that, and the way the derech that you have doesn't make it likely that you're following what you, I mean, nowadays they don't even claim that that's their vision. So I'm saying, assuming that that's your vision, You don't have any serious hope of achieving that vision in its entirety along the path that you are taking. So at that point, the Navi is claiming that's entirely illusory. That's where the Avelis is in that element of dissonance. Let's forget about what could be in terms of you. I'm saying there's a be'etzem dissonance that causes Avelis. The person walks down the street and senses that dissonance. He's in a massive of Avelis. Somebody who sees Avel Sholom. That be'etzem creates a sense of dissonance in the world. There's no correlation at all between the vision of what the world could be and between what seems to be being done in order to make that happen. Most that you have is a lot of different little pieces, that's Emes Nehederet, and somewhere or other out of it emerges a tikkun here, a tikkun there, and humanity as a whole seems to be getting somewhere. But as far as telling what am I going to do? It's very interesting. I had a meeting yesterday with a Chassidish Rebbe. A very rich guy, a Chassidish Rebbe. He can do whatever he wants. So I yelled at him, what kind of business? What are you doing with your life? Well, yeah, you have a shtibble, you have a what are you doing? What is there to do? He asks. What can I possibly do? What am I going to change? Well, it's so good. So I basically concentrate on being able to have children who are Ayolot Baderach Hayosher and so on. I don't understand. How are you going to have children who are Baderach Hayosher? By doing what? By sending them to such and such a school? By sending them to the rest of your family so their face will be longer? So then I say, well, how are they going to be Ayolot Baderach Hayosher? Well, yeah, you'll be marshaling at home. And the people don't have any answer. So what am I going to do? That's already a big mudraker to recognize. What am I going to do? Everybody else has the answers. I think that that's part of the Mishunadika Avelis on the Etzem dissonance. Okay, so this is one additional insight into the nature of what the meaning of the Avelis of Eve is. I don't want to take up your time. We're going to go by time. That's the first part. I mean, now we switch. Now we switch tones. Up to the Zachra Yerushalayim, basically we're talking about the vision. Okay? When we talk about the collapse, the Vayetze Mipatzion Kol HaDarada, Yusorah HaKayalim, that idea, nobody, it's, you know, Kayalim, like Chazal say, all followers, no leaders, it's like Kayalim walk with one nose up the other rear end, it's exactly the way they walk. And nobody's going to look up to see where we are heading and so on. You play follow the leader. Vayakub lo korach b'shmei rodeif. And that's Zachra Yerushalayim. Now we go to recognizing where we're holding. This is now the next stage. First stage was the vision, what we thought should be. Zachra Yerushalayim already is a switch now to being in Golus. So what is it that caused that to happen? You may onya umirudel. That's the different thing. Right? Zachra Yerushalayim begaluta. You may onya, you may churbana she'eviyali de oni. So now we are able to start thinking about the process. And yet we go back immediately to kol makamadeh ha'sharayu mimei keden. Contrast is now in its mind with what it once had. Binfol ama biyatzor ve'en ozerla ve'u atzorim. So what this pasuk does is it brings both into focus, right? In other words, it's saying, now that you're in a matzah in which you recognize that you didn't have what it is you thought you had, and now you can look back and you can think about what had formed your vision. Obviously you weren't able to actualize that vision. So now being followed, it means that in fact there's something laughable basically all along. People don't laugh on tragedy, even on their enemies. They only laugh at the poetry of the justice. fact of that. If somebody thought that they were hot stuff when they were really a joke, so when they finally discovered that they're a joke, everybody laughed. I don't think the Vinakuniya over here is the simple sense of, you know, it's so bad that they can be happy that we're so miserable. I think there's an element of MS. If you can laugh at this, at Mishpatel, so then in a Chiyonim, there's a problem. And that leads into the Chet Chata Yerushalayim. There's all the stress after this is on the decline of Yerushalayim. The Chet Chata Yerushalayim, the Tumata, Bishuleha, that's now another stage, which you're aiming step by step on the staining that ultimately takes place, and which becomes visible. And that takes time. But for you to recognize that that's what has happened, on a personal human life, it's very much the same thing. In other words, other people can see a chisaron in a person, but you can't see. But over a period of time in which that chisaron becomes more and more expressed, so now the person is able to see the impact of such a chisaron. So then he can extrapolate, even though I don't see it directly, because I can't see myself. I can see the impact of such a concern. So somebody keeps investing money and keeps losing money. Everybody else looks at him and saying, you trust people too much, or whatever. He doesn't see. He sees that he's making the right determinations, and so on. Over a period of time, he can come to a conclusion, something was wrong with the vision or with the application, the way I saw myself. That's the pshat tumata b'shuleha. Because ultimately, the blood stains your garments. And everybody picks up the idea that something's going on, including yourself. That's the haita Yerushalayim l'nida. So that's a different level. But it relates directly back to the way we began. That there's a dissonance between what I thought I was doing and what I was really doing. And you see, that level of dissonance begins. And let's say, a few years ago, you wouldn't even have an acknowledgement in religious society that they have such a phenomena called kids on the edge. Right? There's no family would acknowledge the fact that someone in their home would go off with harvest rock. It certainly wasn't an effect of the society. It was a specific failure of specific parents or a specific child. A specific score, it's not an overall effect of society. Gradually, and it only took a period of about 5 years, it went from discussing the failure in those terms to recognizing as something systemic, at least in the sense of something not being addressed by society. That was the first one. And now gradually it's coming to be recognized as something wrong. But why is this happening all the time? Because there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the way that you're being machaneh. There's something wrong with the expectations from the world. Not that they're going to be aiming on what's wrong right away. But this idea of tumata bishuleha, exactly what we call kids on edge in Hebrew, bishulayim. It's literally the word that's used. You want to take a look at the shulayim. That's where you first see the rust. You're seeing now the tumata bishuleha. So therefore, what do you want to wait? Do you want to wait until it completely destroys the entire society, in which nothing is left? All of these are central nekudas in the process of arriving at the tikkun imachim torah, at the tshuva aspect, because it has to be to Kuzma. To Barim, you weren't here yesterday. You didn't listen to the shiur yesterday. All right, anyway, again, I see people have to go, and it's not that
terrible. The bus will be south, and then down from the lights.
Yeah. Am Shalev.
They go like, so Am Shaket of Otea.
Yeah.
And they must still, so we're looking at the Bari Hani Madan, the Bahamian Shaket is above, so they're an idyllic. The isolation, the earlier part, Rabbi says, or what he may to believe, the divine planning was done. So if it doesn't have the rabbi or team aspect, then it has to be shalom.
Plus you on Tisha B'Av problem. I would like to hear your meaning.
I never got an answer.
I don't have a computer. My children steal my computer before finals. I think you have an answer to my email.
The letter is too long. The computer is actually what's time. I dropped the two last
movies.
I was going to do them, but I wanted to have something ready for today.
Sure that we don't have all of that done?
Some of it's old, some of it's from that delivery. But there's definitely stuff we don't have.
I'm doing things that
I don't
have.
Listen,
all the Tom Gedalias we have.
Old ones, you know, done with there's this Hilchos Tshuva Tom Gedalia from I don't know how long ago.
Not from I don't know, we have that.
Okay. So that's it, no, I didn't do this.
That is the market, under markets, business. There were two tickets that Ring held for you. One was the Malev and one was the Brussels Air. I learned that you want the Brussels Air.
I don't want
to. What?
I don't want
to. I don't think so. You can think it over and make sure she doesn't lose that one. I'm very afraid that she's going to lose. Mm-hmm. And make sure that it's my deal precisely in mind. What's the best?
I put life chairs on there. I don't remember ever doing anything. And the hospital. And if there are things that I did, some of them are from the weekend, so you might have them in the night of the year, some are old things. And I think I redid the Kiddo with the Beitze, same problem. The end the same, but I discovered that there was a mistake I used to do. 120 minute takes. So when I set it for 90, it's not getting part of the take. So I just discovered that yesterday because it finished digitizing, I think that the kept on running. So I just discovered that. So I decided to start looking at the tapes before I do it. Most of them are 90.
It's not an exactly effective way to do your job, to be honest.
I didn't know there were 120 tapes.
In any other organization, you would have been fired years ago.
There's only those two. And there's some oldium kicker on here. I don't know how old it is, maybe 2 years.
Boy, I didn't say on anything, what is it?
I think it's from what was delivered from that, wherever that is.
That's not a year. Didn't say on the tape on this one.
I don't think it's there. It's probably from the past. It's been 3 or 4 years. And there's different kinds of stuff I'm afraid to do because you may just have that.
All right.
I don't remember either.
When's the government?
I don't remember.
And then
what? That's
the way. I thought that they had been Nimsa later because they were Hispanic.
They're
always been into late because they're Hispanic. Because they're Hispanic.
When? For?
Probably there's a similarity between you and people won't get mixed up. It's done late in the day and they don't get mixed up because see there's a maybe. But otherwise they get mixed up to do it in a normal manner. That's what I regard to ask about the administration. I think we usually start with the process. I think. That's
that I recall.
I'm not sure you like what I do, so I'll give you a couple of examples and you'll see.
That's what we were discussing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting for it to happen.
Thank you.